Well, I feel like we're pretty wound up today. This is great. This is great. So let's talk about space for a moment. Just to change the subject for just a moment. Talking about space, you might be aware that the Artemis II right now is on its way to the moon to whip around the moon. But for those of you who are old enough, some of you may remember the summer of 69, not the song. Some of you remember the Apollo 11 mission. It was gone. They were gone for 8 days, 3 hours, 18 minutes, and 35 seconds. One of those men was Buzz Aldrin. He spent his whole life leading up to that moment of stepping onto the moon. And he returned to Earth a celebrity, worldwide celebrity. But emptiness was beginning to gnaw at him. See, he had been a high achiever his whole life. And once you've been to the top of human accomplishment, where do you go exactly? We humans have a tendency to ask the following questions. Why am I here? And then at some point in our lives, we'll ask the question, why am I still here? Either way, we're looking for purpose. And Buzz Aldrin, in 8 days, seemed, in his mind, to fulfill his purpose. He was done. He came back home. His marriage started to crack. He turned to alcohol. He battled depression and had a mental breakdown. Life no longer had purpose, and everything went dark. This morning, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, which is not some religious fable or fairy tale. It is a historic fact. And we need Easter, I'll contend this morning, because you and I need purpose. We need purpose. Leadership expert John Maxwell said this, "The two greatest days in our lives are the day we are born and the day we discover why." Do you know why you are here? In Nanaimo. In Nanaimo Alliance Church in 2026, do you know why you're here? And maybe you are struggling with purpose today. And maybe you are struggling for hope for the future. Maybe you're struggling with confidence, knowing that your story could end at any second. See, many Christians in churches today will believe Jesus rose from the dead intellectually. They would check that box right along with Ottawa as the capital of Canada. And those two facts, for some, may carry about the same significance. They're just facts. Doesn't affect life. But when we see, and we're going to look this morning at what God meant to convey by the resurrection, it is no longer just a fact. You gain purpose, hope, and confidence. Let's start with the first one. The resurrection gives us purpose. Did you know that millennials, those who were born between 1984 and 1997, 75% of them will agree that they are searching for a sense of purpose in life. 75% of those adults searching for purpose. And maybe you don't have to be a millennial to be searching for purpose. You may be searching for purpose right now. But think of the world that people are growing up in today, especially if you're unchurched. You are told that you only have life because billions of years ago, non-life mysteriously gave rise to life. And it eventually evolved into you. Just random, unguided chance. Your origin story is an accident. You aren't necessarily meant even to be here. And what's your end? Where are you going? Well, according to science, your end is nothing. Nothingness. Oblivion. Scientists say that today that the entire universe will one day end in heat death, which means all the heat energy used for life will eventually be distributed evenly throughout the universe, making life impossible. In short, people today believe these two things. I am here for nothing, and nothing that I do matters. Not a very warm bedtime story for your six-year-old, is it? But this is our culture's story. We pass this along to our kids, to our grandkids. Materialists, and by materialists I mean those who believe that there is only matter in the universe, there's nothing spiritual, may take on different causes to give their lives purpose. Good causes. They're out there saving the whales. They're stopping old growth forest harvesting. They're getting people off the street. They're counseling addicts. These are good things. But if there is only matter, then really nothing that I do or you do is going to change the end of the story. It doesn't matter how many trees you save or whales you save or people you get off the street. Heat death will wipe out any progress. The end is written. Nothing will survive. Even with the greatest causes, materialism, and the story, that's the story that's taught to this generation, crushes purpose for any thinking, reasonable person. Now, why can't we create our own meaning? Because human beings are designed for eternity. Think about how many songs contain the word forever. Ever thought about that? Isn't that strange? That we have these songs. The Beatles, Strawberry Fields Forever. Taylor Swift, Forever and Always. Neil Diamond, Forever in Blue Jeans. Randy Travis, Forever and Ever, Amen. Mariah Carey simply has a song called Forever, which, by the way, is one of the most common song titles out there today. Rick Astley, Together Forever, etc., etc., etc. Just Google how many songs contain the word forever in them. Humans are hardwired for eternity, meaning we can only derive true purpose from things that stretch into eternity. Now, materialists are experiencing the life of Phil, Bill Murray's character in Groundhog Day. Now, if you don't know the premise of Groundhog Day, Phil wakes up every day and repeats the same day over and over and over. He knows the end. He's going to wake up in the same bed at the same time the very next day. And it doesn't matter whether he does good deeds or bad deeds, whether he grows or regresses. It doesn't matter if he lives or dies. It's all the same. It's all pointless because the end is already written. That is what materialists are living today, every day. The end is already written. Nothing that I do matters. Without the resurrection, in a sense, we all live in Groundhog Day. No wonder millennials struggle with a sense of purpose. But this is what Paul said about purposelessness and the resurrection. He said, what value is there in fighting wild beasts, those people of Ephesus who are being persecuted for their faith, if there is no resurrection from the dead? And if there is no resurrection, he postulates this, let's feast and drink, for tomorrow we die. Might as well live it up for now. Might as well get all you can right now. If Jesus is not resurrected, then we won't be. And nothing that we do in our lives will matter. Without the resurrection, we are living in Groundhog Day. The end is already written. And if nothing matters, Paul says, then do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Be a saint, be cruel, be greedy, be giving, be self-centered, be others-focused. It doesn't matter. Because everything in this universe will die, and no one will remember a thing that you did. Nothing matters if there is no resurrection. Have I hit this home enough now? Okay. All right. But the resurrection changes all of this. This is what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says, remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do. Remember, he says. Don't forget. We often forget this. We often forget. And it's will reward. In other words, it's down the road. It's future tense. It's after this life. That is a consistent theme in the Bible. God presents himself as a loving father who loves to reward his children. So each kindness, each encouraging word, if you are a follower of Jesus, every sacrifice you make, every generous gift you make will all be remembered by God and honored. Because of the resurrection, get this, everything we do matters. Everything has purpose. Every good thing we do now will be remembered and celebrated forever. Jesus' resurrection shows that death is not the end. And what we do on earth today has eternal ramifications. You see how our lives become filled with meaning because of the resurrection of Jesus? It's a game changer. It changes everything. When we realize what the resurrection means, our search for purpose comes to an end. Everything we do now matters into eternity. So that's the first thing. The resurrection gives us purpose. The resurrection also gives us hope. In materialism, again, there's nothing but matter. There's no God in charge. There's no ultimate human story. You only have what you can see in front of you. And what do people see in front of them these days? Turn on the news and you see political chaos and war, disease, a widening gap between rich and poor, a dying earth, job scarcity, a lack of housing, and every system meant to help is underfunded and overworked. There's not much hope there, is there? The other day I met with a materialist, a bona fide materialist, said there is no God. And he said, I want to be part of the revolution. I said, well, what do you mean? I want to make things better. I want to be part of the movement that makes things better. And I said, I agree. The difference is your best hope is putting another human in charge. How has that gone for you so far? I said, we agree things should get better, but the Christian approach is way different. Because of the resurrection, we know that Jesus is alive and he is ready to appear and take over leadership. And this revolution began 2,000 years ago, but the fullness is coming soon. The greatest human who ever lived will become king. This is what Paul writes to the Philippians. He says, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. Are you eagerly awaiting? I hope that you are. It says, he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them. This is one of the first things on his agenda as king. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own. Now get this. Using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Yeah. In other words, Jesus is going to bring justice and wisdom and mercy and kindness and truth to leadership. And under his leadership, everything will improve. Even our bodies will improve. And for some of that, that is really good news. There's hope. Oh, arthritis. Do you know that for some people today, their hope is so low, they don't even want to have children? It's that bad. Grandchildren are getting to be scarcer and scarcer because people just don't want to have children. Their hope in the future is so low. Why would you want to bring a child into this mess? That's all they see. Materialists may see a world only getting worse, but Christians know. Christians know it's going to get better one day because the God King is alive and returning. I am coming soon, he said. I am coming soon. We are holding him to that. The resurrection provides much hope and counters the despair of this world. Like I said, the materialist's best hope is a human leader. But the resurrection says the ultimate leader is alive and is returning to make all things right. The true king, our creator, our Lord, the one who conquered death, he is coming back. And he gives us hope because of the resurrection. Our leader is alive and returning. Finally, number three, the resurrection gives us confidence. For the materialist, there is no afterlife. Death is the end. It's our final destiny. And all near-death experiences are just weird brain anomalies. To a materialist, we live, we die, we're gone. Other religions may offer something a little bit different. Like, once you die, you're just absorbed into the all source, like a drop of water into an ocean. Your personality is gone. You just return to the universe. Others say you come back as something else, depending on how we lived our lives, and I'm not sure who's in charge of that process. But for all those things that I just mentioned, including materialism, there's no evidence. There's no evidence to support it. Pantheism, materialism, reincarnation, all lack evidence. You have to take them purely by faith. But God didn't want Jesus. I'm so glad God didn't want Jesus, his rescue plan, to be taken in blind faith alone. He gave us brains to think. So he offers us an informed faith. He offers us evidence. He didn't give us a fable to follow. He gave us an event to dissect, explore, question, investigate. It's like God is saying, I have beaten death. I am more powerful than death. Just watch. And the Bible says that Jesus and the Father and the Spirit were all involved in the resurrection of Jesus. It's like they contributed. It was a team effort. Said, we are going to prove to humanity we are more powerful than death itself. And he arranged this message on top of the messages he's already given us, his creation, his spirit, the Bible. He gave us this message. Yeah, buddy. And this is what we read in Romans. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Again in Romans, since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him. We are sure of this. Why? Because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Well, I'm just getting warmed up. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Over and over and over in the Bible, we read, because Jesus was raised, you will be raised. Because Jesus was raised, you will be raised. Over and over and over again. The resurrection, by the way, was just not a nice way to end Jesus' story. It was not his, he lived happily ever after. It is a sign. It is a message. It is evidence. It is a pebble in the shoe of every non-Christian in the world. It is a historic event that demands an explanation. So if you want to face the world with a sense of purpose, with hope that things will one day get better, with confidence that death is not your bookend, you need the resurrection. You need Easter. And this gave the early church great confidence in even making sacrifices, in even giving their lives, their homes, their jobs. They gave it all up. Why? Because they were absolutely convinced the resurrection happened. It is a real event. The Bible records, as some of you know, that if there is no Easter, our faith is useless. We are wasting our time. The whole thing collapses. We're just peddling a fable. Without Easter, nothing you do today will matter. There's nothing to look forward to, and death will be the end of you if there is no resurrection. But because the resurrection is true, it points to a God that is guiding all things, not to an end, but to a new beginning, a renewal, a transformation under new leadership with Jesus as King. The resurrection says you have purpose in your life, and everything that you do matters today. You can have hope that eventually all things will get better, and you can have confidence knowing that death has no more power over those who believe. Physical death is not the end of your story if you are a follower of Jesus. And in fact, if you're a follower of Jesus, physical death will only make things infinitely better. Easter offers purpose, hope, and confidence. This is what our world desperately needs today. They need the resurrection. They need Easter Sunday. How many people are sitting in their homes in Nanaimo right now, and today's just a holiday? It's just another Sunday. And they're without purpose. They're without confidence. They're without hope because they don't have the resurrection in their lives. My question for the skeptic, and if you're a skeptic here this morning, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. My question for you is, if Easter was even possibly true, wouldn't it be worth investigating? Do you know how many hardened skeptics have given their lives to Jesus by investigating the resurrection? Do you know? Let me just tell you a few. Lee Strobel, who wrote the book Case for Christ. J. Warner Wallace, who wrote Cold Case Christianity. Josh McDowell, who wrote Evidence That Demands a Verdict. C.S. Lewis, who wrote Mere Christianity. Frank Morrison, who is a journalist, who wrote Who Moved the Stone. These men all went into investigating the resurrection, determined that they were going to prove that it's just a fable. And they walked out as believers. That's how powerful the evidence is for the resurrection. May the message of Easter, with purpose, hope, and confidence, spread far and wide to the people that you love and the people that you're surrounded by. You can offer them a love relationship with God who created them because Jesus paid for their sins on the cross. And when we trust him to save us, not only do we receive forgiveness because of the cross, we receive purpose, hope, and confidence because of Easter. And this grows as we mature in our faith. See, all people need Easter. We are wired to need Easter. Buzz Aldrin needed Easter. Easter is God's message of purpose now, his message that hope that things will get better, and his message of confidence to you that death will not be your end. May God's message to us in the resurrection cause us to stomp our feet, raise our hands, leap out of our seats, and shout his praises.